4th, 2021. This is the Josephine County Board of County Commissioners. We are here today for a legal counsel update. We are doing it by Zoom. There two commissioners are present today, Commissioner Fowler and myself, Commissioner Bertschinger. And we're going to be talking about some things here. Prior to going into executive session, we're going to talk about the civil forfeiture mailer. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, who's doing that?
I can prime things, and then we can get a discussion going after that.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, first good afternoon, commissioners and all others here gathered. Well, so in the ongoing effort to battle back unsanctioned cannabis production, we've sort of gone into a two-pronged counterattack, and you're going to be talking about both of them today here in the first two items on the agenda. The first has to do with the criminal investigation and prosecution side of things, and despite what the sound of it is, called civil forfeiture, but that's actually a function of the criminal prosecution. And so there's that, what the sheriff does, and the DA does, and our office assists with in terms of civil forbiture. We're going to talk about the mailer in a minute. But then on the other side of things is item number two, and that's the civil side of things, which doesn't necessarily require a criminal investigation or prosecution. It still addresses violations of the county code. And I think we're going to see the direction of that discussion today really focus on a lot of the unsanctioned cannabis production that's occurring and the violations that we've been seeing as endemic to that. So I'll pause there before we talk about the particulars of what this item is, and ask if there's any questions or if any others want to comment at this stage.
So just whose idea? Where's the genesis?
Okay, let's start off just as a discussion among county leadership. How can we spread the word regarding what civil forfeiture is? I mean, I probably was the first one to pitch the idea of someone to blame, but there was excitement within the county leadership that's dedicated to fighting this battle, and where we went with it was the idea is
to use some money.
Okay.
The idea. Oh, I think that microphone's on.
Dropping yourself off.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell it.
Let me pause.
Somebody's mic is.
Your mic is on. Your mic is on. We're hearing you.
And okay, so. Yeah, the idea is to put all property owners on notice for what's at stake if they decide to partner up with the producers of unsanctioned cannabis, we'll say. And the mechanism that seemed to make the most sense was to put this one-third page, double-sided, colored insert into the property tax notices that are going to go out later on this fall. So we have, I have communicated with Eve Arce, the treasurer, about the possibility of doing that. She estimates the cost would be about $3,000 to $5,000 to this out to every property owner within Josephine County, and it would not increase the cost of postage if we keep it small, which is why it's one third of a page. And so, on that basis, I cobbled together initial messaging and sent it over to Jason Roberts, and he put this in a real nice format, in my opinion, I think, but definitely. We can change it if preferred, but he put it into the current format, and so that's the plan as it's formulated. That this is the county's chance to communicate directly with the property owners that they could be putting their property at risk.
Hey, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like our best way to reach the most people. This does go to the property owner, even if they live in North Carolina, right?
It does, because it goes out with the tax sticker.
Right, and what about people that have like automatic tax payments from a bank? Do they still get a statement?
Oh, I shouldn't attempt to answer that. If Eve is with us, she can, otherwise I can get back to you on that one.
Yeah, just a curiosity question. I'm all for it, and I think it's a small amount of money. for the bang for the buck.
I think so too, and again, it's a two-pronged counterattack, like I'm starting to call it these days. And this is, even though it's called civil forfeiture, it is the criminal investigation and prosecution side of the counterattack.
Gotcha.
Okay. Any other questions?
All right, safe. So this will go out. Just to make it a wrap. All right, so the timeline on this is he is going to send the info to the printer in about a month. And so then I think it'll be probably another 3 or so weeks before the statements go out. So within the next couple of months, it looks like we're going to see these actually going to mailboxes.
Okay.
And that's all I got.
All right, move on to item number 2, the ordinance.
All right, so this is purely civil, not criminal, and processed by my office and also Mark Stevenson. And that is to say, community development and planning. And so the ordinance is, I think this is the unchanged draft, though Augustus can correct me, but I think it's basically the unchanged draft of what you saw last time. But we did have some ideas, or we were presented with some ideas and requests for discussion, and so I'll probably turn it back to the commissioners at this point, and because I know one of you has communicated with me about what you'd like to see maybe changed, and that's what we're prepared to discuss here today.
Okay, well, I'll start out, unless you want to start out, Commissioner Fowler.
No, I don't. Go ahead, sir.
So, looking at the history of this ordinance and the pushback that we've had before, I want to make sure this ordinance gets passed this time, and so I've suggested putting in there a statute of limitations. I think that would alleviate a lot of the concerns of the people that pushed back last time, and at the same time wouldn't affect the illegal cannabis growers. It wouldn't affect that at all because they're all new. They're all new to the party. I think that I think it would be smart to do something like that and alleviate the citizens' concerns that really push back the last go around. So anyways, I'll leave it at that. I don't know if that's a 5-year, probably a 5-year is what I'm thinking. Does anybody have any questions on that idea?
Well, just, I'd like to hear it a little more fleshed out. That means that somebody that has a violation with our code enforcement from 6 years ago, they drop off and becomes you'd have to have a new complaint in order to go after him, so to speak. So I need a little more information on what exactly the consequences. Give me an example.
I think an example would be like an illegal structure that has been assessed by the assessor for the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. That would be a moot point that would have met the statute of limitations.
That
seems like that was the crux of the opponents of the last ordinance that we tried to get through. Was it last year or the year before?
Last year, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, that's, like I said, I want to see this thing get through. We need this thing through. And I think something like that would mitigate those concerns from that group of people.
Yep. I see Mark has his hand up. I was going to ask him anyway. What do you say, sir?
Well, are we talking about possibly like going back to January 1st of 2016 and saying anything prior to that, there's no authority for citation on any
right.
of those pre-existing ones? I can live with that. I mean, prior to 2016, we do have quite a few violations prior to that, but we can work those through. We can, you know, we can continue our process of what we do now. It's the overabundance of the new ones we're getting right now that we really need some teeth to just stop this action, as well as the letter that Wally had mentioned that would go out to property owners. If that works for you, commissioners, as far as calling it January 1st, 2016, I'll let Augustus jump in and with his legal opinion.
Right, well, because my further question on the matter would be, if there's a cannabis place where they've been housing motorhomes since, you know, 2003, we had that one case out in Williams that was almost 20 years old, and we finally got compliance and started changing things. What about that one if we do a 5-year?
Well, what I did look into, I went back prior to 2016, see how many of those solid waste issues we have, such as you're referring to. We have a total of 13. There's still a legal process by which they can go through legal counsel, go to court, and the same way that particular one you mentioned was dealt with. We can still deal with those. And that's a doable number, I believe, not to overwhelm legal counsel or anything, but to bring those few forward, I think over time. I mean, we're still, a lot of these 13 still have compliance plans that the property owners are still working on abating their violations. Those are, you know, there's another several hundred that are not as serious solid waste issues that we can still continue our process and try to get voluntary compliance on.
Well, I think we can still do the statute of limitations with the exception of the ones that are already in the pipeline.
Okay.
See what I mean, Mark?
Yeah. I like that idea. Does that sound like a legal thing we could do, Augustus?
I don't see why not. I guess I have a few clarifying questions. The first is that for these illegal structures that are being assessed by the assessor, do we only want to deal with these structures that are being assessed currently? Is that a limiting factor that we want to consider? Because I could foresee a circumstance where you have two property owners in two different areas of the county where there might be more of a code enforcement presence and one where there isn't, where you could see possibly the law being applied to one person differently than another. That's the biggest thing that jumps out at me. That's my first question, is that do you want to limit this to assessed property? And are we also going to attempt to permit these dwellings that are illegal dwellings or illegal buildings? Are we going to still, through planning, try to bring those into compliance via permit?
Well, like I said, I think that was the pushback. I think that was the concern, and I'm afraid if we don't address that concern, sometimes you don't get the whole pie, you know? There's a few pieces missing. So I want to get this thing through. I watched it fail the last time, and I don't want to see a repeat of that. So something to mitigate those concerns from that group of people, I think would be the smart way to go. The last thing I want to do, because if we don't get this done this fall, it's unlikely we'll get it done for the next grow season. And I don't want to be in that position going into the next grow season. Trust me, I do not want to be in that position.
Well, and that brings up the question, because I think I understand the question you're asking, Augustus. And I don't know if it does just apply unilaterally for forgiveness and we try and get voluntary compliance on some of the buildings, or is there a line in the sand 5 years ago that now your building's grandfathered in, so to speak, and we won't write it up for any violation. Is that what you're, the question you're asking?
More or less. I think that, you know, you're kind of getting into the realm of the non-conforming use, right? legal non-conforming use. My question is really more along the lines of, you know, as Mark was saying, there's properties with compliance plans. If this is going to be a 5-year statute of limitations, at least to my understanding, that would be exempting these property, these illegal buildings from citation. Is there still a mechanism by which planning is going to want to try to get them into compliance with the compliance plan? Or are we just going to let those properties go and just call it and pretend like the violation never existed to begin with? That's all I'm getting at. I think that I'm sure that we can find a way to make some form of the statute of limitations work. I think the biggest concern is just making sure that it's equally applied to everybody across the county. Because you get property out that's kind of close to the city that may not have such a, that all things being equal, you could have a property close to the city and one out in Wolf Creek that have the same situation, but one is more likely to be seen, that being Wolf Creek, just because there's more of a code enforcement presence out there. So you might get one property owner that gets past that statute of limitations and then another that doesn't. That's what I'm asking.
I think we have to cross that bridge when we get there, Augustus, because I don't see any way to sort that out.
Right.
You know?
But it's part of the thought, yeah.
Yeah, if you tried to sort it out, you would be doing exactly what you're alluding to. If you're trying to sort it out.
Well, in a 6-year-old structure, it might be hard to prove that it was not 4 years ago. Would you keep receipts on your illegal structure? Or anyway, go ahead, Mark.
With aerial photos, you can do all that stuff, I think. Can't you, Mark?
Yeah, there's a process that we already take on those structures. A lot of that comes through realtors. They come to us, they're trying to sell a property, trying to find out if there's permits on these. We'll find a garage or a barn or what have you. And we have procedures where we actually very gently handle folks through and get them the development permits, get an ag exempt permit on it. We call it good on these older existing ones. I don't want to just pass on the violations that we've had over the years and the new ones that come to us. I see no problem with avoiding a citation for anything older than January 1st, 2016, and we'll just continue to work with those folks and hopefully get voluntary compliance. And like I said, a lot of them are responding to us, and we are closing a lot of those older, we are closing a lot of those cases weekly. And again, we're using a gentle touch. We're not out there pounding on people's doors because they have an old garage that somebody built back in the 80s. But when the realtors come to us, we do deal with those. We do try to get them legal. We get them their permits, and they move on with their sale. And how we would, separate that, make that a equal playing field, I don't know. So I think if we just leave them where they're at and we move forward from January 2016 and we're fair and equitable in everything we do, and again, the focus is always going to be on voluntary compliance. So.
Okay.
And I also believe that this is a completely different animal than that one that was back in 2013, because I remember reading about that in the paper and thinking, what in the world? You know, it was open-ended, and this isn't.
Well, I think Mr. Chair Augustus said he had a couple of things he wanted to talk about.
Yeah, 4 years, Augustus.
I'm sorry?
I said, do you have anything else to discuss?
So, yeah, there are a couple of things. In terms of The ordinance itself, I spoke with Director Stevenson yesterday, and I think that it would be worthwhile also to have a policy attached to this particular ordinance that viewable by the public, that spells out the code enforcement process as will be dictated by this particular ordinance, just so there's no open question about what the priorities are for code enforcement, basically how we're picking and choosing our legal cases, and to just to be a little bit more transparent. I think that that would be helpful in alleviating some of the concerns that some citizens may have. And just the notion, just the idea to repeat, community development is going to do everything to get a structure permitted before moving on with any form of legal action, including a citation, and especially if the only violation is an illegal structure. So that's one. Second, in terms of the 5-year statute of limitations being contemplated, will that only apply to structures that are unoccupied structures? So like,
no, I think that applies to all everything.
Okay, so illegal structures that people are living in currently also is what you would hope to cover.
Yeah, that seems to be the crux of things, Augustus, whether we want to talk about it or not. That's what it seems like. It's kind of, it's, you know, I thought about this a lot before I approached Wally, and it's kind of like a reset. You know, when we transitioned back in the 70s and having statewide planning and all this kind of stuff, that didn't roll out instantly when Senate Bill 100 passed and then everybody, you know, right. It was an evolutionary process. And over the years with the county, the planning department went up in staffing, went down in staffing, things moved smoothly, things didn't move smoothly. And so I think that I'm looking at this like it's kind of a reset. You know, and here we are, everybody. We have zoning and we have a process, and we know there's some stuff in the past. Well, okay, but from here on out, this is how we're going to run things. You kind of following me?
Yes, now I'm following you perfectly. What that sounds like to me is a transitory period, a transition period.
Right.
Okay. So, what I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I think instead of a statute of limitations, what you're looking for is a 5-year transition period so that people who currently have something illegal or let's not even go there. Let's say we're talking about people that have had conditions on their property where you have a structure that has been assessed, right, that people have been paying for. Essentially, you have that going on. We don't want to take that away, point blank period, because people have already been paying for it, even if they didn't get their permits. I think that the 3 to 5 year transition period for it, because again, we're just talking about the structures. We're not talking about marijuana associated things. We're just talking about structures. I think that a 3 to 5 year grace period in terms of working with the planning department could be something that, do you think that that would be something that would be palatable?
Well, what do you mean working with the planning department?
Working with the planning department, getting some form of a compliance plan to make sure that we can get those things permitted at some point in the future.
I think we do a statute of limitations and move forward. I want the planning department to be concentrating on what's coming in front of us and not so much what happened behind us. I think that's where I'd like to. Now, I have concerns over some of these ongoing ones, Mark, and I think anything in the pipeline that still needs to stay relevant. I'm just trying to avoid a big fight, and I think in the conversations I've had with that community, I'm pretty sure they'll put up a big fight. So, it got to mitigate it.
That leads me, right? Well, that leads me in my thought process to, okay, so they built an illegal garage 10 years ago, and they moved people into it and made a little guest house out of it. And it doesn't have smoke detectors, and it doesn't have this or that, the life and safety stuff. We're going to say, hey, you take your own risk, and we'll let the realtors deal with it when they try and sell it, if that ever happens. But the county's not liable for letting someone live in that structure, even though it's not permitted and doesn't have life and safety. We can't police that. And so...
Well, I think there's... Any house built before Senate Bill 100 is like any house built before 1971. When was that? Well, 71, 74. Yeah, any house before that is the same situation, Commissioner.
It's true. I just moved into one.
If I may, one thing that we do, and this is basically through my directive, is, you know, the building department didn't come along until 74, and I reached down to David Bassett, who started that building department back in the day, and asked him a simple question of when did people start recognizing there was a building department in this county? And he was thinking more like 1983, 84, before people were really knowledgeable of the building department and the need for permits. And I stretched that out to 88. So anything prior to 88, you know, that's our grace period. I figure, well, back in 86, if they put up a garage, it's possible they didn't even know that there was a building department here at the time. So we do a lot of that in our consideration of these existing structures that are all over the county. Also, we take, you know, we look at who's the new owners. It's a good four owners since that thing was built. That makes a huge difference to us when we're dealing with landowners and realtors and such. You know, it's a third owner removed from somebody that did something without permits years ago, and so it really is a light touch. I understand that, you know, let's let them have the building there. We're not going to let it tear it down, but I do have concerns about illegal occupancies in an unsafe condition. And I'll just leave that for what it is, but I do concern myself with those things as building official for the county, so.
Yeah, and we're gonna have that, Mark. I totally agree with you. You know, I think everybody is trying to get this ordinance in a nice little neat package, and I just simply don't think it's ever gonna be that way. There's just too many variables and too many people on too many different sides that we gotta get the biggest chunk. We all know why we're doing this ordinance, okay? That's what we need to focus on, all right? What's it gonna take to get what we're really after here? And if it takes, you know, something I learned in the legislature, if you gotta compromise a little bit to actually push the ball forward, that's what happens. And that's the way I looked at this. Because I talked to Wally several times. When we first started this, I said, oh boy, here it comes. And then I reached out to some of that group, and oh boy, here it comes. And I said, well, I got to try to do something to mitigate this so that we can get this ball pushed forward. And so I don't want anybody to have expectations that this ordinance isn't gonna have some things in it that we're just gonna have to live with. Because what's going on in the county right now, not what happened in 1988 or 1995, whatever, what's going on right now is far, far worse than any of that stuff back then. That's the way I look at it. So if we can figure out a way to do that, and get those people off our tail so we can get this thing done. That's my goal. And that means I'm gonna have to go out there and sell this. I'm not saying that even with a 5-year statute of limitations, that some of these naysayers are, you know, that's going to be my job to go out there and try to sell this thing. Okay? So you're going to have to give me some goods to sell.
I'm unclear what the problem is. I mean, is the problem that people are thinking that we're just going to go cite them for having an unpermitted structure? Is that the biggest thing that is on the forefront of minds?
Biggest fear, yeah.
Okay. All right, and simply just that. That's the only thing we're going to go after them for.
Yeah. And you know, Augustus, you can't write an ordinance that you can go after people and then say, well, we're not going to go after you. You know what I mean?
No, no, I get that 100%.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No, that I do understand.
And so the only way to mitigate it, because I know Wally and I scratched our heads, and that finally dawned on me, let's just do a reset, and maybe we can get those people to just live with that.
Well, and especially if it's only a dozen plus, 15 violators. That's not a big handful. And
if we go back to January 2016, there's about 207 that are existing within our department. We've cleared hundreds in the last year that were, you know, back in the early 2000s, even back into the 1990s. We had violations that were just carried over. A lot of them were gone. But we've cleared it all the way up to a couple hundred. But we really started seeing severe issues with people that were not vested in their community moving here and doing a lot of damage to properties and neighborhoods. And that really started, 2016 on, we started seeing that grow and grow and grow. Those older things, I don't think there's a whole lot of concern. We're actually trying to just close them, trying to find a way to just, hey, you know, this is a life safety issue, and if it's not, let's move on with life somehow.
So if I could suggest, maybe we could move forward, have legal write an article in here that explains that, and then when we come time to vote on it, we can debate it a bit, because Dan will be here as well. What do you think of that, Herm?
This is what I think. How about we pick a date? It doesn't even necessarily have to be 5 years. It could actually be a little bit further back. It could be 7 years. And state that code enforcement issues relating solely to unpermitted structures shall not be subject to citation.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to vet that. I'd have to make sure that there wasn't something else, Augustus, that people are thinking, you know. I haven't had extensive conversations with this, so before I nodded my head to yes with that, I'd like to have some other conversations with these groups.
That's perfectly fine. I think that for me, as the person who's drafting it, it would be very helpful for me to know exactly what it is that people are having reservations about. Because my job isn't to tell you guys no. My job is to figure out a way to make this work. And I do want to make it work. And I'm open to hearing from whoever has reservations about anything to make this happen. Because I Commissioner, there's no way that the county should be expending any resources for a minor violation and going for a citation for something as simple as an illegal structure. That is not at all what we should be doing. And that is the policy currently of planning. But I think that as the drafter, it would be very helpful for me to hear from people, individuals, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in written correspondence, what is about this current ordinance that is the most objectionable. Because I think then that'll give an idea of how we can move through it and craft something that is amenable to the most people possible. I don't want it's can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? This isn't gonna
exactly. Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
And structures going forward, structures are gonna be a big problem. I mean,
yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm, you know, I like planning to concentrate spent their resources and time. If we get this ordinance through, Mark, you're going to be busy. Very busy.
Well, we're already very, very busy now, but I do want to make one point. I've only found one person that's contacted me that had objections to it. He's the head of a group, and I met with them yesterday for a couple hours, and that's the kind of conversations we need. For those, I mean, I have hundreds, if not more, people that are on board with this. Anybody out there listening that has concerns, I really would love to have that conversation and go over this and let them get a feel how what we feel the intent of it is, what our approach is going to be, and hopefully the benefit of our county in a big way.
Well, it's like everything else. I think the devil's in the details, and once we get that, you know, formalized, it'll be better. And I encourage you to keep having those conversations, Mark, and I'll do the same. I'll do my work too and have those, because I don't want to go through another year like this summer.
No. No one else does either.
Nope. No one else does.
Hey, I haven't had a chance to look all the way through this ordinance. Where does the money that's collected, where does that go?
That has been put into the ordinance.
That's what?
It has not been put into the ordinance. That hasn't been decided.
So you know, there is no way that we would ever budget on something like this citation. And, you know, it could be zero, it could be more. I don't know. And my thought was, you know, my original thought in a perfect world was for code enforcement, for the sheriff, and for solid waste. But it may be, beneficial to just go into the general fund and to be used where it's necessary.
Right. So that way, a little discretion could be used if we need more for code enforcement or we need more for sheriff, and that may change from year to year, and who knows? Who knows?
That's right. And there is no way that I'm going to count on a revenue source called citation authority. No.
Right. But most people think, in general, that the police are giving out more tickets to get more money in their budget for next year.
Right. Yeah.
And I just don't want the perception being, hey, code enforcement's out there writing them left and right just so they can make more money.
Yeah.
Because we need to dispel that rumor from the beginning.
Yeah, and again, I'm the director of community development. Down the road, if there's someone else in 20 years, it's better than just be left up to budget committees and that to spend those funds.
That's a good answer. Okay. My other question, if I could, was,
sure,
is there any chance of doing this soon enough to include some of this information on our mailer in the tax bill? Because it's also very compelling to know that you could be fined every day. And so I don't know if there's enough ink left on the third page, but
I don't think so. If the first reading is September 1, probably, I don't want to get too far, but I would lean towards no more than yes, just because of timeline, Wally.
Yep. Unfortunately, I agree. We're really up against it, timeline-wise.
Okay, I just had to ask.
We'll do it next year.
We'll do it next year.
Okay, some more. Wally, go ahead.
Yep. Okay, a couple of small points. First, not to discount the fines too quickly. I mean, there is the potential to have a $500 per day violation penalty based upon the citation, and if unpaid, that would attach to the property of the lien. So you could be talking about significant money down the line. So we do need to address that. I'm so glad that brought up, because it could be an important point down the line. And another thing, so we are all on the same page with terminology, and we're using consistent terminology. So I don't think the statute of limitations would be comparable to what we're putting in place. It is really more of a reset. The statute of limitations is a look back from the date of the charging instrument, the date the citation was written. And so you'd say it was rolling 5-year period forevermore. And that's not what the discussion today really focused on. And I don't think that's where we're headed, right? And so we're just going to say that as of that date, 2016, that's when this this citation authority will be effective. So I think we covered everything else. Augustus, you sounded like you had your questions addressed.
I think so. I think that with further conversation down the line from individuals and commissioners, I think that we will figure something out.
Okay. Thanks. And we might benefit by cutting me out as a middleman. If Augustus is sitting there and something comes up, would it be all right if he just contacts you, Herman?
Sure.
Directly. Okay.
Perfect. Works for me.
Very excellent.
Okay. All right, if we're done beating this horse, let's go on to the number 3 horse, coronavirus resolution.
Yes, so got requests from 2 separate commissioners, individually and unrelatedly, about a resolution. Curry County had passed a resolution, which is included in your packet. Curry County's resolution focuses on, if you skip to the end, it focuses on business closures and school closures. And it states all employees and agencies of Curry County shall not assist in the enforcement of closures. My understanding is Curry County has sent its public health department back to the state. And if that's accurate, then they're in a different posture than Josephine County is to issue that kind of a resolution. And so I didn't interpret Curry as being directly translatable. But also the discussion of vaccines, and especially with the $500,000 that the county is now planning to spend in directed messaging toward the unvaccinated. I thought that we'd maybe start by getting some thoughts collected of where the board wants to go in terms of messaging. This would not be messaging aimed at persons who are already vaccinated. And some of them may find that an unsatisfying message that doesn't go too far or far enough, I don't know. But that was kind of where I started in putting stuff on paper. And so if we get nothing else out of this, at least I think it'd be worth talking about what form of messaging the board has in mind when you kind of launch this campaign.
Well, I would like to push this discussion until we have a Commissioner DeYoung present. I think something like this needs to have all 3 commissioners in the discussion. And So we don't need to table it, but let's just push it down the road until all 3 of us. Is that okay with you, Commissioner Fowler?
It is. Just if I could ask Wally a question, though.
Sure, you go ahead.
About since they don't have a health department or a health department director, you're saying because we do have one, if we tried to mimic this, we'd have to say, except for public health, which kind of takes the teeth out of it in some regards. And so I totally get that. I just want to make sure I was getting the gist of it.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, temporary chair, vice chair.
Yeah, call me whatever you want. All right, well, let's push on through. Okay, let's talk about going into the executive session. So I'll read what I'm supposed to read before we go into executive session. Today is Tuesday, August 24, 2021, at 2:14 p.m. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. We're going to talk about the national prescription opioid litigation case, the Ohio case. We're going to talk about B, Josephine County commercial ground lease with Chief Aircraft, Inc., for property at the Grants Pass Airport. And we're going to talk about a confidential memo regarding correspondence with American Mineral Research. So as we go into this, we only can have approved representatives of the news media, and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are now asked to leave the Zoom room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session.
accept to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we'll return to an open session and welcome the audience back into the Zoom room. So we're going to turn the recorder off now at 2:16, and we will see you in a while. All those that are not approved representatives, please leave the Zoom room. Thank you.
So I take it, Mr. Chair, we're going to stay on this Zoom address and just empty the room?
Yeah, I think that's what Wendy had planned. Am I correct, Wendy?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, you let us know when we're in the executive.
We're ready.
Okay, we are in. We're back in session for our Tuesday, August 24th. Legal counsel update. We were in executive session on three topics. Topic A, the national prescription opiate litigation. We got an update of where that litigation is right now. Josephine County commercial ground lease with Chief Aircraft for property at the Grants Pass Airport. We got an update on what's going on in that discussion. And a confidential memo regarding correspondence from American Mineral Research. We've got an update and an explanation on that memo. So I guess if we don't have any other additional subjects from the commissioners, Commissioner Fowler.
Let me back in. Do we have a resolution coming up to fight against the governor's orders, mandates? I know we've talked about it in a couple meetings, and the public has talked about it in a couple meetings. Do we have one to consider this week, or was that just it that flew by before sort of executive was. Session?
Sort of was, but it's kind of tough to keep beat on what the mandates are.
Right one that we're against mandates without the consent of the governor?
Okay, what kind of mandates?
Any.
Any?
Because they're going to do an end around no matter what. They're mandating people take vaccines, certain sectors. They're mandating masks. I want to make sure we're doing enough. Are we?
Right. No, I know. Well, I would like Commissioner DeYoung to have a say in that. Maybe let's talk about that. I hope Commissioner DeYoung can make it, even if it's by Zoom tomorrow. And maybe we can have that discussion at the end of the Wednesday business meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. I guess with that, we will adjourn at 2:42 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Recording stopped.